Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as NeneCapri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Yes, welcome, 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 everybody. It is Tuesday night. Y'all know what time it is. We are ready to talk that talk on all things sports. My name is Tony, and I'm going to be joined shortly by the wonderful crew of the Scoreboard. But in the meantime and in between time, y'all know Jazz always takes a minute and a half to get into the clubhouse, trying to find a spot. That's why he was relegated to those hard chairs, because the boss lady, Nene Capri, took his comfy chair away from him. But welcome once again to the Scoreboard. My name is Tony. And speaking of the boss lady, I just want you guys to make sure you stay on the lookout. She's going to be dropping some heat real soon. We are coming up on the end of the month. She promised us in July that we would be getting the P-Trap Part 5, that much anticipated and waited for final series of her Pussy Trap series. So make sure you guys get caught up from 1 through 4, because we never know when she's going to drop it. She may do a Beyonce. You know, she's teased us like that with her last couple of drops. But make sure you stay tuned to my page as well as her page, and I'm sure trappers around the world are going to start sharing that link as soon as it's available. But it is available right now for pre-order. So make sure you head on over to Amazon and get yours so you'll get it as soon as it becomes available. Now, in addition to the P-Trap series, Nene also has that Trust No B series she actually co-wrote with Cash, and he just dropped a new joint on Friday, Thugs Cry 3. Now, I'm one of the many Thug Cry lovers. You know, that story is based out of Newark, New Jersey, so it's real, it's raw, and it's gritty, and it is a testament to Cash's pen. So make sure you guys head on over and pick up Thugs Cry 3. I understand that a lot of people are not very happy with the ending. So I can't wait to dive into those pages. Now, Nene also has some authors under her brand, Nene Capri Presents. She has the beautiful Imani Hilton. She is the author of That Sinful Lust. So make sure you head on over there and pick that up. And I understand she's actually penning part 2 to that. And she also has Devious Deceptions by S. Chameleon. She is a beautiful soul. Her books are based out of the Detroit, Michigan area. And I want to make sure I pronounce it right. It's Saganow. I don't want to, you know, I could chop up a name. But pick up that Devious Deception by S. Chameleon. And also she has the Dude in the Harem. That would be Arthur Rance McNeil. His book is The Wrath. That cover is awesome. Make sure you pick that up. And that is actually one of the ones that I actually edited for Miss Capri, as well as Sinful Love and Devious Deception. Wow, my little resume is just expanding. Hey, Jazz, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, baby? How are you?
I am good. I am good. I'm ready to dive into that talk and that talk on all things sports. I see you found a spot in the parking lot.
Yeah. You know, I wanted you to, you know, pay the bills before I interrupt you. You know, you do it so well. So, you know, I wanted to let you do your thing.
I'm ad-libbing. I don't have any notes in front of me, Jazz, so I hope I did Boss Lady proud.
Yeah, you did. You did. She's proud. She's proud.
Because, you know, she'll sneak up in here in the clubhouse and put us all in check. So we got to make sure our show is on point. So when
Absolutely.
She does go back into those archives, she'll be able to say, okay, check, job well done. So what's going on,
Absolutely.
Buddy?
Ain't nothing. Everything good. Everything good. Can't complain. Can't complain. I had a real busy, I had a real busy week since we got off the air, you know,
uh-huh.
started real climactic. So we got a lot to chop up an hour.
Do share.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not foregoing the boxing segment, you know, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing that happened was they had a Bellator. You know, Bellator is the UFC graveyard. So they had a card. Phil Davis lost to Ryan Bader, and Kael Sonnen beat Wanderlei Silva, and that's that. So ain't nothing to talk about. So anyway, so yeah, it was again. Bellator is where guys who are, I hate to use the word too old, but it's for guys who are too old for UFC. They end up moving to Bellator and get a couple more checks. You know, Rampage over there, Kael Sonnen over there. You know, Akimbo last fight was on Bellator before he passed. Dada 5000, Ken Shamrock fought in Bellator. So it's for the older guys. You know, but so, yeah, so that the fight was all right. It was cool. So anyway, but an hour and a half after we got off the air, Dwight Howard got traded.
I know. And I'm sure that Louis Mack wants to come in on that situation. So, Louis, when you're ready,
yeah.
one, and we got to he hit us
yeah.
up as soon as we got off the show. I could not believe it.
Yo, shocked.
So we got to go ahead and bring Louis in.
Hey, I'm not shocked. He's a bum. He should have never got brought in to begin with.
Wait. But why would Charlotte take on the contract, dude? I mean.
That I can't tell you. I don't know. Probably because we took the Atlanta took two of the crappy contracts in Miles Plumlee and Marco Bellinelli. I think because Dwight Howard's is over at the end of the season, and I think Plumlee and Bellinelli are in the same situation. So it was just a trade of Charlotte wanted a big man. We didn't want Dwight Howard, so let's just trade expiring contracts for expiring contracts.
Okay. So was that a good move in your opinion?
I mean, you got Dwight Howard out, so that's always a good thing. I mean, honestly, what it does is it signals to – the fans, and it signals the front office that they made a mistake a couple of years ago not trying to keep tooling that team.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, you know, after they had that 60-win season and they were the number one seed and they had the great month of January and that great, you know, January-February run that they were, you know, they thought that they were a lot closer to a championship than they really were. And they didn't do anything to make the team better. They kind of stayed put and was like, okay, our system, our players, we're going to get there. And then Korver aged really quickly. You know, Al Horford left.
Yeah.
You know, and then you know, Tim Hardaway.
Then you traded Jeff Teague.
Well, Jeff Teague trade had to happen because at that point you had to make a decision whether you were going to run with Dennis Schroeder or Jeff Teague. You couldn't keep using both of them. You had to make a decision on which way you were going to go. And I think picking Schroeder was a signal of we think he's good, but, you know, we're kind of on the rebuilding side. And now definitely getting rid of Dwight Howard and bringing, you know, getting rid of Dwight Howard. And unfortunately, you know, Paul Millsap will probably leave. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't heard too much about it, but my opinion is he's probably gone. So if you're the Hawks, you're in straight rebuild mode now. You got a young, explosive point guard and Schroeder, and you know, if you draft right and you kind of not really tank, but you know, now you're not going to be as good, and you admit you're not going to be as good, you start getting lottery picks instead of picking 20th. You start picking, you know, 7th, 8th. You get better players, and you know, you have a chance of retooling, and you know, and going that way with it. So
we do not use the word tank. We do not use the word tank.
Yeah,
the word tank is frowned upon.
Oh yeah, they're not going to intentionally tank like the you know they're not the 76ers. You know, they're not going to like purposely lose for, you know, 7 years. But, you know, they're not going to be, you know, a 4 seed or a 5 seed anymore. They're going to, you know, they'll probably pick, you know, if they do this right and they move the right pieces, they start picking in the top 10 instead of the bottom first round. And now all of a sudden you start getting better players in here and you got a chance to actually rebuild and, you know, retool.
So now before we go hard on the hardwood, what we got going on in MLB? What we got going on in the MLB? What you got?
Well, you know, we're starting to get in the trade, you know, we're in the trade deadline at the end of July. Yeah, we're almost halfway through the regular season. Trade deadline is coming up, but the problem is like this year's trade deadline is probably going to be real, real slow. Because as the playoff picture looks right now, the National League playoff picture looks pretty much set in stone. Other than who's going to be a wild card,
already?
Who's going to be? Yeah, it's well the NL East is real weak, and Washington has got like a 10-game lead in the East. And, you know, the Phillies, the Marlins, and the Braves and the Mets aren't going to catch them. So, I mean, that's pretty much locked up. And the Dodgers, the Rockies, and the Diamondbacks are like eight – like all three of them are qualifying for playoff positions right now. And whichever one of them has the number two wild card team, as of like 2 days ago, they had like a 8 or 9 game lead over the next – the closest team to them in the wild card race. So –
okay.
It's not likely anybody's going to catch them for a wild card spot. So really the only one that's up in the air in the National League is the Central. And that's really become almost like a Brewers, Cubs, the Red. I mean, the NL Central has been really weak this year. The AL is going to be a lot of fun to watch and see some moves, but a lot of the teams don't need, like a lot of the contending teams don't need position players. Like the Yankees, they might need a first baseman. But that's a real specialized market. The Astros don't need position players. The Cubs don't need position players. The Nationals don't need position players. The Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, you know, all these teams have their starting eight out in the field. They just all need pitching help. So it's going to be a really interesting trade market to see what teams try to make a move, what teams don't, and, you know, we'll see what pitchers go where. But it's it's going to be an interesting next couple of months just to kind of see who tries to make a move. You know, what teams like the Cubs and the Yankees and Boston, Tampa, Houston, like see what these guys do to try to make a run and, you know, see what, you know, maybe Kansas City, somebody like that. It's going to pick up here in the next, you know, couple of weeks and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, but right now, I mean, trade-wise, there's really nothing going on, and, you know, not many major stories going on. You know, Aaron Judge is still doing Aaron Judge things.
Well, now, I do have a question. Now, what do you think Are the Dodgers right now in the NL, are the Dodgers the team to beat?
I think the Dodgers are probably the team to beat in all of Major League Baseball.
Wow.
The Dodgers position players are that they have a very deep, one through eight position player wise. They're all very good. Anybody on that field could beat you. Corey Seager, Puig, Bellinger, Adrian Gonzalez. They got a lot of good bats. Kershaw is still being Kershaw. Like, he's having a quote-unquote down season with an above 2 ERA right now. So Kershaw's going to be Kershaw. I think they're, probably some starting pitching help. They need another really solid, consistent arm behind Kershaw to really, solidify it. But they've got one of the best closers in baseball who just, 2 days ago gave up his first walk of the season. He's got, 60 strikeouts and only one walk. So, the Dodgers right now are looking to be the most complete team, and they're probably a number two or number three starting pitcher away from just really being a tough team to beat in October.
Wow. So even over the Nationals, the Cubs?
Well, the Nationals have a lot. Yeah, the Nationals have a lot of bullpen issues. They don't have a closer. They've tried three or four different guys, and none of them can get the job done. So they're going to have to overpay for a closer. And, they have Harper, they have Trey Turner, they have a couple of, younger guys. And Ryan Zimmerman right now is playing a lot better than he has over the last couple of years. But, outside of Max Scherzer, they really don't have, the pitching staff 1 through 5, the Dodgers are winning that battle right now. And I would take the Dodgers lineup over the Nationals lineup right now.
Wow.
Especially knowing that once it gets late and Scherzer and the other starters aren't in the game anymore, that Nationals bullpen has been just atrocious all year.
So now what about the I'm not sure, Ms. Tony, if you heard about the gentleman they sent, Chicago Cubs sent to the minor leagues. I forget the pitcher's name. Why?
It wasn't a pitcher. It was Kyle Schwarber.
Okay, why is that significant? Who is that?
Okay, Kyle Schwarber, it was 2 years ago, came up right before Chris Bryant did.
Okay.
And really, him and Chris Bryant came up a couple of years ago and really put a spark in that lineup and really showed that, hey, we're going to be big thumpers in the pros. Schwarber is a catcher by trade. He got drafted as a catcher. He got moved up through the minors as a catcher. But defensively, he's not like Miguel Montero and Contreras that they brought up last year. They're better defensive catchers than he is, so they moved him out to the outfield. And last year, early in the season, he tore his ACL within the first month of the season, he tore his ACL and missed all of last year. And so everybody thought him being healthy and being back in the lineup would add that extra left-handed power bat that, offset Rizzo and Bryant. And he was only hitting a 178 batting average. So he was really struggling.
Wow.
So they sent him back to the minors to, kind of regroup and, fix whatever's got going on. And, he'll be back up. As long as he shows some improvement, he'll be back up and hopefully, it'll help spark that, struggling offense to get, going again and, make a run for the NL Central.
So if the Dodgers are, and I'm gonna put this in National League, American League. If the Dodgers are the team to beat in the National League, what is the team in the American League right now that you see coming out of the AL right now?
Are we including guys that will be coming back from injury? Are we assuming that
Absolutely. Everybody
who's hurt right that has? Then I think it's Houston.
Houston,
the Houston Astros. Yeah, dude, they're 52-25 right now. They're the best team in baseball record wise. right now. Only they're a game of they got one more win than the Dodgers do. They're the two best record-wise teams in baseball. Houston's a very young team with a lot of, you know, Jose Altuve, Carlos Carrera, George Springer. They're playing at a high level. Carlos Beltran has been a nice veteran leadership role for them and helping them keep their head on straight with a lot of the young guys. Brian McCann has been very helpful to them. They have, you know, they have one of the better closers in the game and one of the better setup men in the game. They have a great, you know, end of game bullpen. They're just dealing with some injuries in the starting pitching right now. So if they get their starting pitching back healthy and maybe even add an arm to the bullpen or maybe add an arm to the rotation, they're kind of in the same boat as the Dodgers. Like that's a solid, complete team that, you know, as long as those young guys can keep their heads on during October and not let the moment get to them, you know, they could be a fun team and a dangerous team come late, you know, getting into October.
Wow. So where are the Yankees in the mix on this subject?
The Yankees are tied with Boston winning percentage-wise for the East division right now. I mean, they're a solid team. Like I said, they have a question mark at first base because it really just depends on if and when Greg Bird comes back, because he's a nice bat. Everybody thought Greg Bird was going to have a better season than Aaron Judge was this year.
Okay.
So he's a solid player. He's dealing with injuries, but they're not sure when he's going to come back, you know, and if he comes back because he is a younger guy, how he's going to handle that. So they could be in the market for a first baseman, like a Matt Adams from Atlanta type, you know, just a rental fill-in guy who's not going to be a superstar, but he's going to be real solid for you. And honestly, they need pitching. They need starting pitching. They've been dealing with some injuries in their staff too. If any team that needs to add a very solid starting pitcher, if not like an almost an ace quality starting pitcher, it's the Yankees.
Wow.
Tanaka's been good. You know, their pitching staff has been okay, and the lineup around them is dealing with some injuries, and they've been okay. I mean, you know, nobody's really standing out outside of Judge, but they definitely need some starting pitching help in order to make a run.
I don't know if I would say Tanaka has been good. He struggled. I think the best game he played was against his countrymen recently, and I think that was just a matter of pride. You know, that is literally the best game that he has played this season. You know, he's been a disappointment.
He's been real up and down. He hasn't been everything that they thought he was going to be when they first brought him over. He's had his moments where he hasn't looked very good, but he's had his moments where he's done everything that he's supposed to. But he's not an ace in the major leagues, and right now he's kind of having to act like the ace, and he's trying to perform like the ace. And I think if you brought in a guy, like a Chris Archer, who might be on the market, if Tampa decides they can't make a run, you know, there's a couple of, you know, younger pitchers that might be on the market. If they can get a guy like that who's going to, you know, who is a solid number one, number two type pitcher, I think that helps to knock out, and I think that helps the entire team out and, you know, gives them a chance to actually make a run and beat out Boston for that, you know, division title.
Do you think that that's possible, or do you think that Boston wins that division?
Dude, that division's kind of a toss-up, because you would think on paper Boston would have it, because they've got David Price, Chris Sale,
absolutely,
Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts. Like, on paper, Boston's a better team, but for some reason, David Price cannot pitch in Fenway Park. I don't know what happened.
Why is that?
It could be the stage. Like, you know, he pitched for Tampa, so when he pitched there before as a Tampa Bay player, it might have been okay, I'm the opposing pitcher. You know, really no pressure, whatever, just got to go do my thing. But now that it's his home field, it might be getting to him. And Fenway's a real like hitter friendly park. It's short distance to left field. You know, granted you got the green monster out there, but it's a short distance, you know, for a home run to left field if you can get it up over the monster. Even if you just hit it off the monster, I mean that's almost a guaranteed double. Right field's a little bit from the foul pole to about almost, you know, dead away center in right field and right center. It's a little, it's shallow and it's a really small fence. Like the fence is not tall at all. It's a really, I mean, it's only like a couple feet tall. So, you know, that helps left-handed pull hitters be able to hit some home runs. And, you know, you're dealing, you know, and like I said, he went from pitching in Tampa to pitching in Toronto to now pitching in a market like Boston. I mean, some guys, are built to handle. Some guys are born stars and can handle that pressure, and some guys just it gets to them. And I mean, I can't tell you why, you know, David Price is struggling. It just might be that, you know, he can't handle Fenway and the pressure of being the home pitcher in Fenway, or it could be something that, you know, he threw too many innings as a younger pitcher, and now he's already kind of, because he's got a weird delivery. It could be that he's already starting to show some of that wear and tear, and he's just not getting the velocity and the movement that he used to. And now, now that you're in a hitter friendly park for half of your starts, those mistakes are getting, you know, instead of a mistake being a double in St. Petersburg or the Toronto Center, you know, the Air Canada Center, or not Air Canada Center, that's the Raptors, but, you know, out in Toronto where it'd be a double to the gap, now it's a home run.
Okay.
In Fenway.
Okay.
So, like, some guys are built to pitch in ballparks like Fenway where you can keep the ball on the ground and that the small field doesn't hurt you, and some guys are built to pitch in a, you know, Dodger Stadium, the dome down in Tampa, the Twins, City Field, where it's really big and you can't really hit, you know, it's hard to hit home runs at certain parts of the field. So you make a mistake and the field will contain it.
Okay. So what should we look out for this week?
Keep an eye out on Cody Bellinger. He's got a lead. He's a rookie. Like Aaron Judge, and yep. I believe him and Judge are actually leading the league in home runs right now.
Two rookies?
They're two rookies. Bellinger, I know Bellinger's got like 24, and Aaron Judge is at 21, I think.
Wow.
Tony would probably be able to, you know, tell me for sure, but, you know, they're both raking,
wow.
So keep an eye on both of them and watch how, you know, pitchers are going to start adjusting to them to try to keep them from hurting them.
Absolutely.
The other thing is going in today, there's a record 28 days in a row where at least one player in all of, you know, whatever games are, you know, one player in the Major League Baseball for the last 28 days in a row has had a multi-home run game. So that's an MLB record. And so it's going to be kind of fun to see how far that goes, because home runs are at a, home runs are at a historic rate this year. Like, if the amount of home runs being hit right now continues at this pace, they're going to shatter all kinds of, you know, league records for, you know, home runs hit in the season.
Wow.
Well, Aaron Judge actually has 26 home runs this season so far.
Okay, see, I sold him short five.
Yeah, you showed him.
So.
I understand. I know it's the Yankees, so I understand.
but that's what I'm saying is you got Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger at 26 and 24 home runs. Bellinger's home runs are not coming like on, you know, like meaningless pitches either. Like he's been a hero for the Dodgers. I mean,
okay.
So those two are definitely guys I want to keep watching. And on Sunday night baseball, more than likely for the Sunday night primetime game that ESPN does,
yes,
it's likely to be St. Louis against Washington. And that pitching matchup looks to be Carlos Martinez and Max Scherzer. And that's going to be a great pitching duel. That's two guys who work at a very high pace.
Okay.
A very fast pace. So it's
okay.
not going to be slow and boring. And
yeah.
those are two very, you know, dominant pitchers. So it should be a lot of
okay.
swings and misses. It should be a lot of, you know, it should be a nice pitching duel. So if you want to see two great pitchers going at it, Sunday Night Baseball should be where you what you're watching.
Okay, excellent. Okay. So now since you mentioned New York, I want to, you know, switch topics a little bit, and since we're already at the midpoint, so I give you guys some questions as, like, for instance, should Phil Jackson let Carmelo buy out his contract so that he could leave New York and go to Cleveland?
Yes. James Dolan needs to buy out Carmelo's contract and let Carmelo walk. I don't know if he goes to Cleveland or not, but James Dolan, if he wants to try to fix this culture and he's not ready to pull the trigger on getting rid of Phil Jackson, you got to get rid of Carmelo Anthony.
Okay. Okay. So, Ms. Tony, what do you say?
Phil Jackson is here throughout the end of his contract, so we have him, unfortunately, for another 2 years. They gave Carmelo this no-trade clause, and at this point, you want to buy him out. Why give him that contract? You know, Phil Jackson has done nothing but devalue one of the faces of your franchise, and so you devalue the price on him. So if I was Melo, I'd wait it out. Honestly, I'd wait it out.
Okay.
Unless you're going to pay me. Pay me my contract and let him walk. You know, I don't get in athletes' pockets because we as outsiders, we don't know what's going on in their lives, but you know, they're trying to blame Melo for all of this, so I would rather he go and play somewhere where he's happy, but the choice is his to do what he wants.
The choice is James Dolan, because if James Dolan as the owner decides he's going to make Melo stay one more year and butt heads with Phil Jackson, then Melo's not going anywhere.
Let me tell you a little insider. James Dolan
mm-hmm.
is doing nothing. He is leaving it all to Phil Jackson, and these are the words from James Dolan's lips. He has stepped aside and let Phil Jackson handle this. When he signed that contract with Phil Jackson, one of the stipulations was that Phil Jackson would run the operation. Dolan has done nothing. He's come in the press once, and that was to tell us that if you have any questions, ask Phil. Hashtag ask Phil. So he is doing nothing until at the end of both of their contracts. And that is from his lips.
But it's still, like, even if Phil Jackson says, look, you're going to keep me for the next 2 years, I need Melo out of here so I can build the culture I want to build, James Dolan still has to sign that $25 million check or whatever it is.
Yeah, you can buy it.
It's
50
plus. It's 50 plus.
Yeah.
I thought, does Melo have 2 more years? I thought he only had 1 more year.
No, he has 2 years left on his contract.
Oh, then that might not happen. That's
no,
a big check.
I listen to this every day. I thought Melo only had one more year. Nope.
So now, what do you guys think about the Jimmy Butler trade?
I love it.
Okay. Well, okay. How did you feel about it, Ms. Tony?
Well, I'm glad for him. And, I just feel that Jimmy Butler, if Phil Jackson had really wanted to make some change, he could have been in on that. You know, and everybody's just wondering why he didn't get in on it. It's a great trade. I mean, you can't ask for better. He's going to a coach that's familiar with his play, to a coach that I wish we had gotten here in New York, but they didn't even give him a meeting. So I'm just saying, I'm just getting off on a tangent. But, you know, I think it's a great trade for them.
Well, New York didn't have the assets that Chicago wanted for Jimmy Butler. You had to be able to give them your you had to be willing to part with your first round draft pick that year, and New York wasn't going to do that. And on top of that, you had to give them two young pieces that could be something in the future, and New York doesn't have that. So I don't
it
think
could have been a three-way trade. Because they were even talking about why New York wasn't even in the mix of that. It's been in the news ever since it happened.
I mean, I understand, but New York doesn't. Other than Porzingis, New York does not have anything that any team in the league wants. So, in order to make that deal work, in my opinion, you're getting rid of Porzingis. And if you're going to get rid of Porzingis, You go fleece the Boston Celtics for Jaylen Brown, Jay Crowder, and two or three first round picks.
You got a point. You know,
New York, we do have pieces. His name did come up in a trade as well as a few others, but you know, those outside of New York may not be aware of this. So the opportunity was there. I mean, Porzingis' name has come up in a few trades, is what I'm trying to say.
I understand that Porzingis' name has come up in trades, but I'm saying that trading Porzingis to get Jimmy Butler does not help the Knicks. Trading Porzingis to a team, unless you are getting two younger players and multiple draft picks, that does not help the Knicks. It does not help them. So there was no point in trading Porzingis in a deal for Jimmy Butler. It doesn't work for them. It's not useful. They need to cut ties with Carmelo, cut ties with, you know, you got Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah on crappy contracts, but New York has to admit that they can't buy themselves into a championship anymore, and they have to get another couple of younger pieces that can develop around Porzingis and hope everybody stays healthy to compete, and then when you have the cap space, you can use your muscle as a New York team and become and bring somebody in. But trading Porzingis for Jimmy Butler doesn't help.
I did hear that New York is, and I might be wrong, Ms. Tony, but I did see an article that said that they were trying to re-sign Derrick Rose to keep him.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen.
You don't think Derrick Rose is part of the future?
No, not at all. You know, you guys got jokes, right?
We're not joking.
I see where you
I
guys
read the
are going.
Article.
Derrick Rose,
I did read Joakim the article.
Noah, those contracts were like a waste of.
But that's the article. I'm just the article I read. That's all I'm saying. The article I read, and they said that hey, you know, Derrick,
but
you know Derrick Rose, you know, is probably going to remain in New York. I'm just asking.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised with Phil Jackson at the helm. Nothing surprises me anymore.
Yeah,
it really doesn't.
So do you think that? You know, because all today, I've been hearing different things about Paul George, you know, him getting out of Indiana, you know, la, la, la. Do you guys have any thoughts about that, about where he should go if he happens to get his way out of Indiana? You know, Boston, Cleveland, I've heard the Clippers. What about Chris Paul? What do you do with Chris Paul if you're the Clippers? What do you
Chris
do with
Paul
Blake?
Staying.
Chris Paul stays?
I think Chris Paul stays. I think Chris Paul likes being in L.A. too much. I think this is a power play with the Clippers to make sure he gets his max money I think it's his agent. You know, floating these, oh, he's talking to San Antonio, oh, he's talking to Houston, oh, this and this. I think it's just a power play to get the Clippers to let him get his max money and then let him and Doc build the team that Chris Paul wants to build. And I think that includes letting certain players like DeAndre Jordan or Blake Griffin walk and not be on the team anymore.
Well, you maxed DeAndre Jordan out, though. So who? I don't know who's going to take that contract.
Well, then you let Blake Griffin walk unless he realizes that his free agent value isn't what what he thinks it is, and he's willing to come back on a much cheaper deal, or at least a deal on par with what he's gotten in.
Okay, what do you think, Ms. Tony?
I think that Chris Paul stays as well, and if either of the two, you know, they have opted out, but if anybody goes, it would be Blake, and I agree with Louis as far as it would be like a reality check on what he thinks his value is out on the open market.
I mean, Blake Griffin's a 1993 power forward trying to play in 2017 basketball. He can't shoot from the outside. He's the NBA's greatest volleyball player. You put him around the net and he's amazing. You take him away from the net and he's a liability issue.
Now he can hit the 15. He can hit up the 15-foot now.
Oh,
he does have the 15-footer now.
But you're talking about trying to compete with the Warriors team who's got four guys who are all, you know, they've got three guys in the starting lineup who are 6'7" plus who can shoot a three ball. Like, he's got to be able to step outside and shoot.
But if you put him in Atlanta, for instance.
Oh, please don't bring him here. God bless. Don't do this to me.
Well, let us
tank.
There go that T word again. But also, he's a bit injury prone. He's a bit injury prone as well.
Agreed.
So you have to take that into consideration also.
Yeah.
He needs to go to a team that's going to run up and down the floor constantly and not need him to shoot beyond layups and dunks and never handle the ball. As long as he finds a team like that, he's worth max money.
Well, then I could find a team like that.
So are either of you buying Paul George going to the Clippers?
Unless the Cavaliers can come up with some crazy three-team trade to make this work, there's only two landing spots for Paul George. It's the Lakers or the Celtics, in my opinion. And honestly, I think
the Lakers in Cleveland.
But if he was going to go to Cleveland, that deal would already got done because that would have been a straight-up Paul George for Kevin Love and maybe another piece. Type deal. They don't want
but
Kevin Love.
Remember,
so it's going to.
He still has another year on his contract, though.
Who?
Paul George?
Yeah, he's a rental player.
Yeah, he's a rental player.
He's a rental player unless you can convince him to stay. They didn't want Kevin Love. They want young assets. They want draft picks. Cleveland doesn't have any of that.
Nope.
So unless they get a third team in there, That trade's not going to happen, which is why I think he either goes to Boston or he goes to the Lakers.
But with that returning Cleveland team, who do you guys think will not be returning next season?
I don't think LeBron's coming back. I don't think Love's going to get re-signed. I don't think any. I think after next season, once the 2017-18 finals are done and free agency starts, I think Kyrie's the only person left. Of the big three.
Okay. Now,
because I think at that point they'll find a way to get rid of Kevin Love and LeBron James is going to walk in free agency.
I'm the exact opposite. I believe that LeBron James stays in Cleveland. He'll become the first $30 million a year player and he'll be 10% owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
You can't do that as a player.
And in 2 years, he'll retire. He'll do another magic. He'll do a magic.
I think LeBron's at a point in his career where the only number he's worried about is six. So he's got to figure out a way to be on a team that's going to get him the closest to six. Cleveland is not
that
team.
In
a year with Paul George potentially going to L.A., Klay Thompson could possibly be moving to L.A. There's talks about Paul George reaching out to Klay Thompson, trying to get him to come to the Lakers. I don't see that happening, but it's out there. LeBron could move to the Lakers, play with Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and you know, possibly a Brook Lopez or the other young center that they have. I think LeBron sees L.A. as an after basketball move and a better way to get him closest to six. That's the only number LeBron cares about is six.
I'm going to add to that because, you know, just since Magic has been in the position that he has been in, he's made some great moves. And that landing spot in L.A. is I think they're the team to watch.
Okay.
Do think that LeBron doesn't stay past his next year, but L.A. is looking, you know, better and better. The Lakers.
I mean, I don't really. I'm just saying. First of all, Magic. What moves did Magic make?
I mean, you got Brook Lopez and got rid of Timofey Mozgov. I'll take that as a win all day.
Yeah, and you got rid of Russell. You bring in
Ball. But D'Angelo Russell's a cancer in that locker room. Like, he doesn't fit the culture they're trying to build. Like, so you got rid of a cancer in the locker room, and you got rid of a crappy contract of Timofey Mozgov.
I agree.
And brought
in
an elite center who can shoot and run the
floor. I agree with that. So y'all are trying to convince me that
I'm not trying to convince
LeBron is gonna go to LA where the road is harder. See, in the East he could coast in the East. He goes to finals every year. In the West, it's more work in the West. He's trying to work harder.
And a faster game
But there's two things.
I don't think he's trying to work harder.
There's two things. Either way, whether you play in the West or the East, you have to beat the Warriors. So it don't matter if you're beating them to get to the finals or you're beating them in the finals. You're going to have to go through the Warriors.
Well,
so that part doesn't really matter to me.
Personally, I would rather see him twice a year than see him eight times a year, because if you play for the Lakers, you're seeing them all the time.
But the regular season don't matter. If you can walk into the postseason as a four seed and make it to the finals, that's cool. All that matters is you got to be able to beat the Warriors in a 7-game series in the playoffs. Whether it's in the finals or in the conference finals, you're going to have to beat Golden State in a 7-game series. Cleveland doesn't offer you that in the next 3 years, 4 years.
But with that being said, what team on the East would he play? And the second point was that of the top four on the Warriors, who do you see being the first to leave? I see Thompson.
If any of them leave, it's Clay. I don't think any of them will leave, but if any of them do leave, it's Clay.
I agree. And the one thing I will say is, remember, Iguodala and Livingston are both raised. So, technically, Golden State has, do you try to keep them both? Because remember, Iguodala made $12 million this year. If he wants a raise, what does he want to raise up to?
Well, okay, the other part of that, I'll see your Iguodala leaving, and I'll raise you a Dwayne Wade gets bought out by Chicago and goes ring chasing and becomes the Andre Iguodala 2.0 of that team.
You cannot. Wait a minute. Say that one more time. My phone went fuzzy for a minute. I didn't quite get that.
What was Andre Iguodala's role on that team? Bench scoring, bench defense. Just don't let the second unit falter when Curry and Clay and KD got to take a breather.
Okay.
Chicago's more, in my opinion, Chicago's dumb if they don't buy out Dwayne Wade of his last year, of his $24.8 million. So you buy out Dwayne Wade. If Dwayne Wade wants to go ring chasing and get a fourth ring, get a fifth ring, there's no better place to go be sit on the bench and play 22 minutes and shoot your 48% from the floor when you're on the court and not have to be in the spotlight and go cheer on Clay and KD and Steph and then play for 20 minutes a game.
If I'm Golden State, I'm not even answering the phone, dude.
No, I would. Why not? Why not?
He can't even play on back to back night.
Dog.
What are you gonna do for me? At least Iguodala's athletic. What is Dwayne Wade gonna do for me? Let him go over there with LeBron with the Lakers. Go over there.
He's a very solid mid-range shooter and a better three-point shooter. Like, he's getting better. He's a leader who's been there before. He's a good locker room guy. He's not gonna start any issues. He's gonna ride the bench. He's gonna shoot 48% from the field. He's gonna score his 16 to 18 points a game in his 22 minutes. And he's going to ride off into the sunset in a year or two. And you could probably get him for the $10 million that Andre Iguodala doesn't want to play for.
No. He's going to get David West money. He's going to get David West money.
No. He needs league minimum.
Because he's only going to play 30 games.
You just got a $24 million. You got a $25 million check from the Chicago Bulls to not play for them.
So that means he could take David West money. He could take David West money.
If you want to chase rings, get bought out, go play for $10 million or $12 million. Go play for what you just walked in. What was Andre Iguodala making? I'll take that.
He needs to go make he. They need if he go over there, they need to pay him league minimum, whatever the minimum is. He pay for it.
I mean that's fine too. If you're gonna chase rings.
Chase rings with your money, not with mama. League minimum.
That's fine, too. He might be willing to do that.
He ain't going to do that.
You just got a $25 million check in the Bulls. I mean, that's a possibility, too. But I think Dwayne Wade was dumb for leaving Miami to begin with. So, I mean, at this point, I don't know what he's doing.
But his feelings was hurt in Miami. His feelings was hurt.
I don't care. You have the best exec in basketball and Pat Riley, who went out and made cap space to bring you LeBron James and Bosch for 4 years so you could win not four, not five, not six, and then you're going to cry when LeBron James bolts on you, and then you're going to bolt on the team that drafted you, that won you a championship before they got there, and then rebuild a team around you so you could win more while you were down there. You're being a crybaby.
He cried because Riley said he wanted to sign Whiteside before he signed him, and he felt disrespected.
It's because Dwayne Wade wanted $25 million, and the Heat only offered him $21 million.
Well, yeah, I mean, that too. I mean, the disrespect was too much for him. It's too disrespectful.
I'm just saying, you've made probably $150-200 million in your career playing basketball, not including what you made off the court, and you're gonna cry about $4 million to leave the team that has won you three championships or four championships. No, it was three. No, four.
It has to be something more than that. $4 million is like a drop in the box bucket. You know, based on all that he's made, like you said. So I have to believe that it has to be something more to it than just $4 million.
So let me ask you guys this. Chicago Bulls team for four extra million.
Does Kyle Lowry in Toronto?
Oh, jeez. I hope not for the sake of the city of Toronto, but it's probably going to happen.
You don't think he's worth maxed out money?
I was about to say, I don't see worth maxed out money, but, you know, they could be desperate enough to give it to him.
Hey, if Mike Conley can be the highest paid player in the NBA for a year, so can Kyle Lowry. So it'll probably happen.
Because if you're going to pay him.
He gets maxed out or he leaves.
If you're going to pay him, then if I'm DeRozan, I'm looking around like, yo, if he worth this, then I got to be worth more than that. Because DeRozan carries
team. He just redid his contract, though.
Yeah, DeRozan just got signed to max money. Yeah, like last year.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was a free agent last year and took max money to stay in Toronto.
Oh,
or close
okay.
to max. I don't know if he got maxed out. He got really close to max money.
He's real close, not to it.
So, okay, I have a real quick question because I know we got to get off the air, but Who was the dude that Boston drafted? Who is he?
Jason Tatum?
Yes, who is he? The same guy that you told me they was going to take. Who is he?
He's a one-and-done player from Duke, kind of a hybrid 3-4 type player. He's built a lot like KD, kind of tall, kind of lanky, real slender. It's got the possibility. He may not ever be an elite scorer, like from three and from mid-range, but right now he walks out of the draft into the Celtics lineup being able to score at all three levels. He might develop into some, you know, defense with his length, but he's what Boston needed, an outside – he's a wing scorer who can score at all three levels.
So this is what they need.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's piece of what they needed.
Okay. I was wondering if that was my question. And I'm glad you answered that, because I was wondering, like, is this what they needed, or did they just kind of take the consolation prize because they made the trade?
No. There was a quote by Danny Ainge that said that a part of the reason why he was willing to make that deal out of the number one spot was because the guy they were going to take first overall was probably going to be their third overall. I highly doubt that that's true, that they would have taken Jason Tatum at number one had they kept that pick. Mm. But Jason Tatum was probably really high on their draft board. He fits exactly what they need. He's a hybrid. He's like 6'8", 6'9", can shoot from three, can shoot from mid-range, can score around the basket, got some length to him. For a team that's got enough defense and just needs really another scoring option outside of Isaiah Thomas, it was a great target for them at three.
So then does this mean that Isaiah Thomas is the point guard of the present right now?
He's the point guard of the present, yeah. Unless, for some reason, Marcus Smart develops a jump shot, then he might be in trouble.
That does not happen.
So that is not happening.
Okay.
That's not happening.
Okay. So that should... So Miss Tony, last question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Where does your boy go? And where do you want him to go?
My boy. Who?
Come on.
You talking about Melo?
Yes. Who else am I talking about?
I want him to go to... I hope he gets sent back to the Nuggets.
Where do I see him going? If I see him going anywhere, it would be to Cleveland.
So you think they do the buyout and he goes to Cleveland?
And if you're going to go, if you're going to get bought out and you're going to get your money, I would go where I can possibly get a ring.
And does that piece right there make them better than Golden State?
No.
No, they need at least another piece there.
They need Paul George. They need Paul George.
If they can get Paul George, Melo, and that would be a nice an addition to contend.
In a perfect world, they could get Paul George, they could get Melo on a buyout to come play for really cheap, and they can get Dwayne Wade on a buyout to come play real cheap, and that gives you enough scoring off the bench and enough depth and enough size and enough shooting to maybe contend with them.
You only got 12 spots on the roster, so who's not
Dan Williams ain't coming. Dan Williams ain't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm trying to think of anybody else in that team.
They got contracts that they just re-signed just this season. I mean, and JR's not going anywhere. Shumpert's not going anywhere. So they have contracts. They have cap space. So they have issues there.
Yeah, but you can only carry 12 people.
but if you can get your roster to 10 people, then you can sign Carmelo and Dwayne Wade under the There's an exception of, you know, the veteran minimum exception that basically mm-hmm. says, like, hey, we have to we
is
have to fill
bird,
out a roster.
Is that the
no,
bird?
The bird rule,
Larry Bird.
The bird rights is if you've played on the team for 3 years, a
mm-hmm.
team can go over the salary cap to sign you to whatever contract they want to sign you to. There's different exceptions that they give teams to be able to fill out their rosters to a 12-man
mm-hmm.
roster, even if they're over the salary cap. You can use those on Dwayne Wade and Carmelo if you can get your roster down to 10 people and you can get them agreed to play for that veteran's minimum.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna be interested because I think that even if you bring in all three of them, if Golden State stays the way they are and keep Iguodala and Livingston, you still lose.
What? I think Gordon Hayward's gonna go to Boston. I think Boston's gonna figure out a way to make the Paul George deal happen. And then try to convince him to stay in Boston past his 1 year, which is very doable, I think. And I think even if they just bring in Gordon Hayward, I think we're going to see another game from LeBron James where in the playoffs he quits on his team against the Celtics and just walks off the floor, and that'll be our sign that he's done in Cleveland. He's done with him. He's going to quit on his team again against a Boston team that he can't beat, and then he's going to go somewhere else, just like he did 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I do agree with you because Danny Ainge has a lot of pieces, contracts, and he's stashing them. He's going to do something.
Well, it's going to be interesting
I think
to see the
gonna
that
happen.
They make.
Yeah, I think Hayward's going to happen. Hayward's going to have without a problem. I don't think it's going to be hard getting him to see what he's done. Look at the roster and be like, I need a closer. You're my closer. And
well,
like you said, if you're going to rent Paul George, all right, whatever. I'll need Paul George.
Oh, I think you'd be okay renting Paul George, knowing that Boston is one of those franchises and one of those markets that once you get in there, players don't leave Boston. Like, you don't see very many high-profile free agents leave Boston unless they're being traded. So I think you'd be okay with it, knowing that you're a up-and-coming team that can help you win while you're still in your prime. And that, you know, we are a big market, not as big as L.A., but we're a bigger market. We're a historic franchise just like the Lakers. And we're going to be able to win now instead of in 4 years.
All they have to do is show the banners up in the ceiling. Those
I still think
volumes.
You need a big man, though. I think you still need a big man. Maybe they get Timothy Mozgov on a minimum.
No, he's getting paid stupid money to go play for the Nets now.
He's set.
Wow. For real?
Wow. Oh, he just got traded to the Nets and to get Brook Lopez.
Yeah, damn.
And he signed last year to like a four or five year, like
paid.
$12 million. Yeah, he's getting paid stupid money.
So he is the paid journeyman.
Yeah, no doubt. Haven't had ever since he played for Cleveland the first time. Well, the only one
mm-hmm.
he played for Cleveland before he went to L.A.
Oh yeah, he got traded to Cleveland with Shumpert and Smith.
Yeah,
and then Cavaliers let him walk, and he went and signed that big contract in with the Lakers.
So he's sitting nicely.
Yeah. Well, that was cup check, you know. Cup check was just handing out check.
That's a little dang how that works out for you.
Yo.
Stupid money.
Getting paid. Oh, but did y'all hear that? My man, is going to be a free agent. Nick Young. From the Lakers elite.
Oh,
that.
That's another cancer out of that locker room that you don't need.
Well, it has been real. We've covered quite a few subjects this evening.
Absolutely.
We want to thank everyone that joined us.
No doubt. Yo, I had a ball. I wanted to say thank you to everybody. Louie, you're incredible. Miss Tony, you know you're my girl. That's what it is. And we will do it again next week.
I'll see you guys later.
All
right. You guys have a great week. Thanks for joining us once again. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We are your radio tailgate party. Have a good
Absolutely.
Evening, everybody.
All right. Kick Bye. That beat for me, baby.
Absolutely. Good night, everybody.
Purchase your tracks today. Purchase your tracks today.